from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, July 26th. Coming up, some physicians are sounding the alarm about the consequences of abortion restrictions on pregnant people in rural areas. We'll learn more from SignFX Public Media in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is out of COVID-19 isolation after testing negative, he said in a tweet on Sunday. Mawa Iqbal has more.
Pritzker wrote that he's ready to get back to work in person this week, although he did not have any public events scheduled today. The governor's office announced last Tuesday he had tested positive after routine testing and was experiencing mild symptoms. Although state officials never announced how he contracted the virus, Pritzker spoke at the Florida Democratic Party conference in Tampa the previous weekend. Florida Congresswoman Val Demings also tested positive after attending that conference. Pritzker was prescribed Paxlovid, the first oral antiviral drug for mild to moderate infections. He is fully vaccinated and received two booster shots. In his tweet, he encouraged everyone to get their booster. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
The state of Illinois earned $445 million in tax revenue from legal marijuana sales last fiscal year. Dispensaries sold $1.5 billion of product, a 50% increase over the prior year. The state sent $146 million to local governments. Last year featured several months where more than $130 million in product was sold. That figure had not been reached before, but it also seesawed with more month-over-month declines. Industry advocates hope the issuance of more dispensary licenses will help boost sales and foster more competition. A new coalition of small nonprofits aims to tackle gun violence in Champaign County. As Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes reports, the new organization is the brainchild of the re-entry nonprofit First Followers.
First Followers pulled together mental health, education, and entrepreneurship nonprofits into one coalition, called H3, to tackle the root causes of gun violence. Marlon Mitchell is the executive director of First Followers. He says the nonprofit Business Elevator tackles poverty by encouraging minority business ownership.
You know, that creates jobs. That also creates income for certain communities. So his framework is digging into marginalized communities, seeing how can I help you get started in your business, provide you with that capital, and then not only that, attaching you to a mentor.
Champaign County is supporting H3 with $500,000 in COVID-19 relief from the American Rescue Plan Act. First Followers will not use county money for its share of work during H3's first year. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The Champaign County Fair opened its gates Friday evening, welcoming its 169th anniversary after being canceled 2 years ago due to the pandemic. Shane Butler was at the fair on Friday night with his family. Butler says county fairs help bring the community together. He says it's nice to return to this year's fair without the heavy influence of COVID-19.
It feels great to be able to come out without that dark cloud looming over you, you know, not being able to interact with people. I think we're coming to the end of the COVID phase. Things can start to normalize again.
But Champaign County still has a high level of COVID-19, with more than 600 active cases as of July 22nd, according to the Champaign-Urbana Public Health District. Still to come, the overturning of Roe v. Wade could have a big impact on access to maternal health care, especially in rural areas. That story from SignFX Public Media is next on 217 Today.
When Brian Wilson helped create the groundbreaking California Sound, he became arguably one of the most innovative musicians of the 20th century. The new American Masters documentary, Brian Wilson, Long Promised Road, weaves a road trip with the songwriter with memorable live footage and interviews with famous admirers. You can stream this award-winning documentary on the PBS app as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. The Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe v. Wade means millions are poised to lose access to abortion services. And the states with the greatest restrictions happen to have some of the highest maternal mortality rates, with major gaps in rural maternity care. SignFX Public Media's April Rickert reports.
If you're pregnant and live in a rural area, you might struggle to access prenatal care. Dr. Anna Banfield saw this firsthand when she worked as an OBGYN in rural West Virginia.
We have a lot of mothers in our country who are suffering because potentially, in many cases, there are breakdowns in the prenatal care system.
Half of all U.S. counties had not even one dedicated OBGYN in 2019. That's according to federal data. And there's concern that pending abortion bans in places already lacking maternal health care resources could mean more pregnancies to come and worse outcomes. Like much of the U.S., Kentucky suffers from a lack of rural OBGYNs. And here, people are twice as likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than the rest of the country. There are nearly 40 maternal deaths for every 100,000 births. Banfield says prenatal care is so important for improving outcomes. That's especially true for people with high-risk health conditions.
We may have a patient who has hypertension. You know, we may have a mother who has a placenta that's inappropriately located and has bleeding outside the hospital that results in hemorrhage that is life-threatening.
She says even people with low-risk pregnancies should have regular checkups. And pregnant people in rural areas have higher rates of conditions like diabetes and high blood pressure.
Oftentimes that means that the number of visits that they are recommended to have can be substantially increased.
While family doctors can provide prenatal care in rural areas, not all do, says Dr. Lars Peterson, a family physician in Kentucky. He's vice president of research for the American Board of Family Medicine.
There's a persistent pattern of rural family physicians in Kentucky are doing prenatal care and delivering babies less than neighboring states and nationally, which could indicate an access problem.
Melissa Egan says there are many additional barriers to care, like a lack of insurance and systemic racism in healthcare. She's a senior policy analyst at the Commonwealth Institute of Kentucky. Egan says doctors often blame patients for not accessing prenatal care when sometimes it's about a breakdown of trust.
A woman may have seen her provider, and that provider may have expressed something that she perceived as being racist. And she may not want to come to that provider any longer. She may not trust that provider. She may stop using prenatal care altogether or may want to find another provider.
Banfield, the OBGYN, says while the causes are many, the result of low prenatal health care is the same. Bad outcomes for patients and babies. And that, she says, is likely to get worse with the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
The post-Roe situation and the issues we have with maternal mortality and the issues that we have with access to care in rural areas of the United States and even some urban areas that are under-resourced are all coming together in a way that is going to make our situation when we are trying to fight a battle against maternal mortality 1,000 times worse.
While abortions are still legal in Kentucky and much of the Midwest, the services are getting harder to come by. Many states are cracking down. In the meantime, OBGYNs like Banfield are sounding the alarm about the potential consequences on pregnant people in rural areas, who are already among the most vulnerable. I'm April Rickert, Side Effects Public Media.
This story comes from a collaboration between WFPL, Side Effects Public Media, and the Midwest Newsroom. Finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll have cloudy skies today with a slight chance of showers and a high of 76 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal, Alex Degman, Emily Hayes, Sydney Wood, and April Rickert. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.